go ahead, please.
After the young generation became of age and they started to go to school and they had their own companies, we had to adapt ourselves to the American way of life to satisfy our children and their companions.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to drift from our ways of life to the Western way of life, more or less because of our children, our business associate also.
I suppose they taught you things, you taught them.
That's right. They've learned from us, or tried to teach them the best of us, and we've learned from them, naturally, the best too.
That's the way I think it was in our house, in many ways. Now let's talk about some of the customs that we started to talk about before.
Well,
we
like, for instance,
when there was a wedding.
In the early days, the weddings, mm-hmm. we were used to, like they have it now, the girls practically have the weddings. They have all the saying about the weddings. Well, in the olden days, or the early days, it was the men who would
provide for the wedding.
Provide for the wedding.
Food, clothing, everything.
Food, clothing, and everything else. The man's the groom's family, they're the ones supposed to book the bill. All they required from the girl to clothe herself.
Didn't the girl have to have any kind of dowry or something like
that? No, this was, we called it the, see, we have the Turkish customs in the old country, or what we call the Muslim
mm-hmm.
country we
yeah.
lived in. They generally, they give money to the girl. Well, the Western world used to think they buy the girl, which is not true. It's not true at all.
No.
It's just like the dowry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because among the Muslims, their divorce cases are much easier than among the Christians. And if a man divorces a woman, that dowry, whoever what he gives her, it's hers, regardless how many years she stays with him. And that's why they used to give a dowry, she should be protected. Well, this naturally, the Christians have followed that same custom,
mm-hmm.
although there were no divorce,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think up to 1940 or 45, there's only 1% divorces among the Christians in Medina and Syria.
Mm-hmm. I believe you. I'm sure that's a
so that
very
they used to give the dowry, and that belongs to the girl. She takes it.
She didn't have to provide anything.
No, she didn't have to provide anything. Only she got to buy her own clothes, except the wedding gown. The groom has to buy the wedding gown for the girl.
How about the guests? You were telling me about the guests that came.
Whenever we used to have people come in the old country, when they come to a wedding, when they're invited, they always have brought something with them. They
mm-hmm.
brought something as a gift,
mm-hmm.
as a food mostly, like, and used to contain either sheep or goat they bring with them. No, it all depends how many comes from the village, from another village.
Mm-hmm.
And this custom was carried in for a while in America.
You said they also
brought
rice.
People coming from out of town, they used to bring for the groom. They used to bring him sometime rice. They used to bring whiskey. And they used to bring arak, so he'd use during the wedding to help him along. Besides, naturally, the present.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good custom. I think everybody feels free.
Like it. We like it. It doesn't look much burden on the man who getting married, especially if they are not in a position to be able to afford.
Doesn't it put a closeness to Mr.
It
Ellis?
Does.
It made them.
It makes you feel when you come, you are one of the family. You
mm-hmm.
are guests. At the same time, you are one of the not only a guest to the wedding, but you are one of the family who participate, because
mm-hmm.
that's why you're invited. When they invite someone, you invite them because you know them.
Mm-hmm.
You consider them one of you.
They did the same thing you said for funerals, too.
For funerals, it's still much better. For funerals, we used to, years back, someone dies in Grand Rapids, and they used to come from Toledo or Fort Wayne or from Lansing, they never expect to be fed. They used to always provide food for the family. Even they used to be, if the deceased stayed in the house, then at this time, that time we used to have them in the houses. They used to come and take the family for dinner, different ones, to dinner, to supper, then they bring food to the house if they don't want to go. And they never expect the family to provide any food for them.
Well, you were giving me some very good reasons for this. Will you tell me?
Well, the reason is because the people who are in sorrow, they are too busy to make food. And in the first place, they're unable to do it. In another place, it's too much a burden on them. Suppose someone who has a husband died and she has no means. If the ones with means do it and she's supposed to do it, it's too much a burden on her. This just can't be done. So our custom is much better than the custom we're using now.
But Jealous, am I right in assuming, I mean, this may sound like a criticism, but I'm just wondering, now when they have the funeral, they go all out. The people who have the deceased go all out, you know? They provide and they do it big like... Do you think it's to show that they're not...
That's a very bad...
to show themselves,
That's a very bad thing. Of course, they do it because the others have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see a nicer funeral, respect for the... but they have gone, they really have gone out of the way, like expensive caskets, and, very expensive.
Which is a real burden.
That's too much for family. We know this lots of time, you go to the burden, oh my, what a beautiful casket. And that's really a shame, but that's the way it is, it's going. In the, I happened to go to the old country twice, three times since I've been in America. And I've seen the funeral there, really much, they're much better than they are here. They go to the funeral because they respect the dead. Here we go to the funeral because of the, more or less, of the family.
Yeah.
And we do it to bury the dead, which our church teaches us to bury the dead. That's why I go to funeral.
Yes, I tend to agree with you. This is a difference. It's quite a change, isn't it, from our old customs. We've also changed some of the things both in weddings and in funerals. For example, didn't they used to speak to the dead, Ginnedbo?
Yes, that's right. Well,
I told me this.
Yeah, well, they used to weep so much and they used to sing a sad song. It fits the occasion. And I don't mind to see it, but then you cannot do it in English and in Arabic, or the ones that understand the Arabic.
Well, these things are being lost, you know.
They've been lost, and they are, I think, of good value to it.
Yes, they show, I think, a real respect.
It does.
Are these songs, these things, whales or whatever, should be Adulu?
Yeah, we call them whales.
Adulu, Adulu,
Well, they just
you
like...
Tell me in Arabic, because I've got to understand it anyway.
Well, I'll tell you, ندب عنا نحن في الوطن أو ندب هون مثل اللي بيحكوا على الميت الأمريكان
مكتوبين هاو مكتوبين وحنا بي memorize them or do they make them up?
No, they make them up. They write them. Now, just like many, like personally myself, I must always make speeches when someone dies.
You do?
Yeah, I always do. They ask you.
What, for instance, would you...
Now, when you get up and you make speech, you praise the man, how good a man he was, and how good provider for his family, naturally. So when you... Dundabala, you are saying the same thing, and instead of making a speech, the people learn. You say,
Give me an example, but in Arabic.
Well, in Arabic, we like say, "Haif ya batil, al-yawm dhayana rajul ghali." Today we lost a very big man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. You sing it, and people will follow you. And instead of you making a speech and everybody listens, it amounts the same thing.
I see.
There's no difference.
It's the same thing, and they praise.
That's right. They sing and they say how beautiful you're to the girl, your beautiful eyes and beautiful nose and beautiful face and so on. So same thing.
They usually mention the family in these things too. Isn't
yes,
the family
they do.
Important?
Yeah, family very important, especially to the room. They say you are came from a certain family. And the same way in the weddings, and same way in the death.
How important? I mean, would you say, Mr. Ellis, that we've lost this touch with our family? You know, this importance.
We have lost this touch with the families. I want to tell you of a funeral I heard about in the old country. How far they go? This is naturally was a prominent man. This prominent man was a horseman. He raises horses, and also he was what we call a horseman, like you call him jockey here.
Mm-hmm.
And no horse was they're just like the Texas cowboys.
Yes.
Well, when he died, they took the four horses that he had and dressed them in black, and to march ahead of the funeral, and they are thought to march according to the music.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, they took pepper or something hot and they put in the eyes of the horse so the horse would weep.
They really go all out, don't they? They really do.
Of course, it's something we can't do here.
No.
You've seen them in the military funerals where they've had horses. And
yes, but I don't think they've ever made them weep.
No.
I think that's rather unusual. You were making notes.
Now we lost one thing. We lost, and among ourselves, I'm sorry to say that we have to depend nowadays. When you make a deal with anyone, which we had in the early days when we came here, if someone came from out of town and I knew his family, and someone needed help, we used to help him. We never required them to make a business deal. We hardly ever required to make a contract or sign a paper. You just tell them yes, and that meant yes.
That was trust, wasn't it?
That was a trust. We trusted one another. That we lost. We lost very, very much, especially among the friends. So, you do your friend's deed now, and in the years back, he used to do his utmost to pay you back or do the same deed for you again. Now he dodged you. And instead of making you had a friend, you really lost him when you done some good for them. In the olden days, it wasn't.
That's an interesting point. Do you think this is because they became Americanized? Or
well, we can't call Americanized because a lot of Americans, because when you say Americanized, America consists of so many people, the Polish and Irish and Dutch, and they all have their ways.
Why do we
call it the American ways. But we have there's so much of the dishonesty among the people, among the lower class of people. Some of our good ones have taken the advantage of it.
Mm.
For no other reason whatsoever. They just took advantage because the law can't touch them, and they say, well, if somebody owes you money, you can't put them in jail. The law doesn't touch them, so he's trying to get out of it. I know during the Depression, very many people that I helped and others have helped because they took excuse. There was depression. They couldn't pay what they could to pay if they wanted to. I paid my debts, but others didn't. So they. This is one thing we lost.
I keep wondering why, Mr. Ellis. Because too much success, because they've lost the closeness.
They've lost the closeness, and they took advantage of the making dishonest dollar, when they thrust everything to the dollar instead to the honor.
Now you hit the point. Honor.
That's it.
They
lost
that.
The honor. We used to think, I remember one man here, I would say he was not, he was, that came after many years after he made a success, he came and paid me debt which was outlawed because he owed it. He couldn't afford it during the Depression. He paid it way long after the Depression, which others should have done the same thing, but they didn't. And that's what we lost that. That was a good point. We never, early days, we used to buy our merchandise even from some of the good, we call good Americans, the good businessmen, by telephones without confirming, by telegrams or letters, which now you have to almost confirm every purchase in order, because they're trying to get out of obligation. They have lost the honor. And especially among our own people, among our own people, we never used to have a, when I loan someone $40, $50, never think of making write a note for me.
Yes, I'm sad. I'm very, very sorry to see these things go, really.
But it has gone.
Because I think this, as I told you before, I think the Syrians did come with some very excellent qualities and characteristics.
Well, this was one quality. One quality the Syrians and the Lebanese had, we used to be afraid our names to be touched.
Disgraced.
So you hardly, up to 1900, I don't think up to 1920, with all the Syrians and Lebanese in America, I don't think there was any of them committed a murder. And they used to be afraid even to go to the city hall or to the jail. They used to think it's disgrace to go to jail. Now they don't think any of it. They steal and they just as bad as some of the real low class. I would say, I mean, there's very little percentage, but on account of being a few of us, it reflects on,
yes,
on the good ones.
It used to be one time, Kinshia Haib. The Haib was a very strong thing. She said,
word shame used to be, my, it's not a shame to do things like that. We don't think of none of it now. And we had a good record in America, the Lebanese Syrians. I think in 1900, in proportion to the Lebanese and Syrians, population, we had more than the United States Army than any other nationality in proportion to our number.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean we had more than the Irish or the Polish,
no,
but we had per capita, we had more than they did.
Yes, I think so.
And I know in 1900, in the First World War, many of our boys who did not have to go to the army because we were Turkish subjects, and Turkey was in war with America, and we were not accepted unless we were American citizens. And many of us went to the army despite didn't have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they went.
Which I just, this is sort of an aside, but I think of a question, I better ask it. Did you become a citizen very early, for example?
Yes,
Mr.
I came in 1913 and became a citizen.
Did you do it because you felt you were in America, and what was the reason?
Because I liked the leaving, knowing what, how we lived under tyranny, as they call it, under the Turkish government domination. We had no liberty, we had no schooling, and came here and be able to see what the law is, and it's everybody equal, and I had just as much right. I was in business, and I used to find out I had just as much right as the best man in the Grand Rapids. I wasn't abused by anybody. Never was at any time abused by anyone. So I wanted to be an American citizen for that one purpose, because I liked to be an American.
Did you get interested in politics very early?
I did. In the very early days, I was very much interested in politics.
Did you sort of, did they come to you, or did you?
No, I went into politics, and I was asked to be in politics among the Republican Party, but after I went into it, I just didn't like the politician's life. I left it.
You didn't?
No.
Are you still a Republican?
Yes, I'm still a Republican.
You from the beginning, you started out?
I became a Republican for one reason only, and I liked it since, because when I came here in 1901, President McKinley was a Republican, and he was killed, and Roosevelt took, and Roosevelt and the Australian people were very friendly. I became a Republican because of Theodore Roosevelt, who had been a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
He was a friend to the Lebanese,
yeah,
to the Syrians, and I think that's the reason, up to later days, 90% of the Syrians and Lebanese then were Republican, all due to Theodore Roosevelt.
It's very interesting. I didn't know that.
And we did have a man who was a major in the army. Either a major or lieutenant, Wart, who was a close friend to Theodore Roosevelt, and fought with him in the Cuban War. And he was and there was very few and with him, and he liked them, he praised them very much, because he said they were good soldiers.
Was this Wart a Syrian?
This
Wart,
his name was Lieutenant Wart.
And
he died
was
in New York. Oh yes, he was a Syrian.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, he was with Roosevelt in the Cuban War.
Well, that's very interesting. I keep thinking, then we get off the subject and I have to come back again. But let's go to your list. I mean, I'll stop.
They don't used to allow the girl to go with the,
yes,
with the
point,
young unmarried man. And I'm with the age now, I still don't believe in it myself.
Why, Mr. Ellis?
Because I do believe in the family type first. I have seen many of them who've gone together for 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've even seen some of them who eloped,
mm-hmm,
with others because they think they love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And their marriage were on the rock after a short time. Even they eloped once, they divorced. And I've seen one who didn't go together, just only they know the family and their marriage is still going. Because neither the boy, neither the girl, are going to show her best before they are married. You don't understand until you're married.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I do object to girl, unless I know the family of the boy. If I had a girl, I would eject her going out with him till the midnight and all
mm-hmm
rest of the night. Especially to go out of town alone, I'd never allow it if I had a girl.
Well, I think it's precautionary. I think you save yourself a lot of trouble.
It's the Syrians' customs, and I think that's a good custom,
mm-hmm,
because I've known some of them who have married. I never went with my wife. We've lived since 1917. We've had a happy life. And many others.
Mm-hmm.
They've married them because of the family. They know who they are.
I'm sure that that's a very good point. Because I think if you check the statistics, you'll find that that proves the point, really. People like my father.
Well, this is a Syrian custom, and I still believe in it.
Mm-hmm. What else do you have on your list?
Oh, I don't know. I had something with it one day.
Go ahead, please. What about education?
Well, there is our people here, which we didn't have the education who came, the early ones.
Mm-hmm.
Our aim was more of anything else, more of educate our children than anything else.
Yes, they have all gone.
And I know in the Grand Rapids, I was the first one, we were the first one to have a girl went to go to high school. We used to be against girls going even as high as high school.
Yes, I know.
We were the first one to send a girl to high school because we do believe in education.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, many of them followed. And we have, in the Grand Rapids community here, we've got many lawyers and many doctors and dentists,
yes, they,
and
they
so
do
forth.
They do go in for that, don't they?
And engineers, we've got all types, and our, because we were lack of education, We want our children to be educated.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. I think you find they usually end up in some profession. What else do you have to?
Well, all I had, this is about the divorces, and I guess we
covered that.
And about the your word is good as gold.
Oh, yes, that's a very good point. I wouldn't have thought about it.
Well, that's, I think it's, that's all really I've got, except what caused it to come to America.
Well, let me see what your viewpoint
that's
is.
Probably my viewpoint coming to America, because we didn't think the country belonged to us.
Over there?
Over there. We were just, everything in there, under the old rules, everything belonged to the Sultan. You are just subject to the Sultan of Turkey. He can order you out of your home, which they can't do in America. He can order you to go move from one town to that to another. And that's one reason the Arabic people did not start to help in the Middle East, like we'll say the Israelite or the Jewish. The reason we did not help our country, because we never thought it was our country at all. We came here with the understanding we left that country, it isn't ours, and we never cared for it. We never cared that.
When did they start caring? They did start
caring.
They
started caring after the World War II.
That's really the only
thing. After World War II and after we became an independent. In 1945, she and Lebanon became an independent. Then we start to think of our country because it's an independent country. Before that, we didn't. And we all came here with the understanding of gathering a few dollars and go back and build a home there. That's why up to 1900, till the First World War, we didn't, we were more close together. We never mingled with other nationalities. We never integrated with them, and never remarried, intermarried. For that, the one reason we expected to go back to the old country. And
well, Mr. Ellis, if life was so bad there, why did they all want to go back?
Well, you would. It's a surprising. We have the Arabic saying.
Arabic, please.
لما يكون الوطن قتال كانت بلاد السوء خراب. Says if the even the bad, if the native land was not so.
قتال بيقتل يعني.
Yeah, I know. If it isn't loved.
Oh.
The country which is have false laws will be ruined. Even the false and the people will go back because it's your native land. You love the land because it's your native land. You was born there. That's the only reason you feel for it. Not because it's better. We haven't got anything like we have here.
I've always been curious about that. I didn't
That's
really
all.
Know what drew them back.
You were born there and you feel for it, your background, your relatives. And we have, especially among the Syrians and Lebanese, we have a good heritage, background. We're not ashamed of our background. We are ashamed of our government who ruled us for 400 years, that was the Turks.
Mm-hmm.
We can relate that to the Arabs. Now, although some of our people, Christians in America, they denounce or they criticize the Muslims and the Arab Muslims, but they... The Arab Muslims they were never bad to the Christians.
Yes, the Turks.
But they were taught that way.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Christian among themselves, the Maronites, the Orthodox, and the Melkites, we were taught to hate one another.
Why?
The Turkish government just sought to divide and rule.
Uh-huh.
They didn't want them to advise. They didn't want them to educate us. To advise, they wanted to stay young. They used to take the prominent man and take him to Istanbul and teach him there, and he becomes naturally full-fledged Turkish. He comes back to his own village. He's the prominent man, and through him they rule the mass of people.
Mm-hmm.
Not through the mass of people. They don't rule direct. They rule through the prominent men of Syria and Lebanon. Who they've taught, they've taken to their schools and taught them the ways of life, and naturally he became dictator, and that's what he was.
That is very interesting. That throws some, that throws a little bit more light on it. Let's see if I can get you to remember some.
You want to tell me some stories?
Yes, please.
We used to say how.
But if you excuse me, if you tell me a story, but if you have Arabi, please.
Arabi or Ligal.
Yes. And he listens to Jima, and I think confirm.
All right. حتى بقينا حتى نعبر عن محبتنا لبعضنا البعض انه قديش المحبة إلى فرق وقديش فروقات حتى لا نفترق عن بعضنا البعض كان بعض أوقات يقولوا لنا قصص وهذه أحد القصص اللي بالتاريخ عن دمشق حينما غزوها التتار والتتار حينما جربوا يغزوا دمشق بعثوا رسول أو جاسوس جاسوس راح بالأول لعند رجل سمان بنسميه سمان هو اللي ببيع سمن وجبن وحليب كان بيقولوا بالإنجليزي ديري بلادر السمان راح لعند السمان حتى يشتري اشترى منه باوند سمن بعد ما اشترى منه رطل سمن بنسميه بالعربي بعد ما اشترى رطل سمن قال له ما المعروف عطيني رطل جبن قال له لا يا أخي أنا بعتك رطل السمن وجاري عنده جبن كمان لذلك اشتريت السمن مني روح اشتري من جاري طيب فقير ساعده اشتري جبن منه هذا بدل على انه في محبة كان سو لما رجع الجاسوس لتايمرلانج كما بيقول طبعا ما إلى صحة القصة كان حتى يفرهنه لما رجع للتطار للقائد تبعهم وحكى له القصة قال له ما بنقدر ناخذ دمشق لأنه بيحبوا بعض البعض كثير بعد سنة رجع بعث رسول جاسوس راح لعند السمان ذاته مال جاسوس ذاته لكن جاسوس غيره راح لعند السمان اشترى رطل السمن وبعدين قال له اخذ رطل السمن ولفه قال له غيره بتريد شيء قال له نعم بدي رطل جبن لكن بحب اشتري من جارك قال له لا لا انا ببيعك ارخص شو بدك بجاري رجع للسمان قال له في الفلفل بالشام ما عاد يحبوا بعض البعض هلا بتقدر تاخذها اجى القائد واخذ الشام باهون سبيل
That's wonderful.
قصة عشان اللي بيعرف بيعرف كثير انه رجل
Excuse me, before I go, Ilham titles the, do your stories have titles, Mr. Ellis? بالعربي ما بيعطوش
تايلز. بسموها قصة هاي بس.
بس قصة, no title.
قصة معناها fairy, it means fairy tale. Mm. Or tale.
ايه.
في قصة بتنحكى عن اللي بيدعي العلوم كثير بيدعوا العلوم ببلد هو بيدل على الجهل انه عدم معرفتهم للعلوم بيعدوا حالهم جاهلين شو اجى احد الناس حتى يعرف قيمة الشعب وقف على المنبر حتى يخطب فيهم وقال على انه هل تفهموا شو بدي اقول لكم احد الناس رفع ايده وقال له نعم قال له مازال تفهموا شو مازال تفهموا فاذا ما في الجمله بدي احكي لكم سو عاد رجع ثاني مره وقال هل تفهموا ما بقول لكم ما حدا رد علي قال مازال ما بتفهموا ما عم اقول لكم فاذا ليش لحتى احكي ثاني مره طلع قال هل تفهموا بيقول الناس قالوا من جاوبوا هالمره ناس بيقولوا نعم وناس بيقولوا لا ناس قالوا له نعم نفهم ناس قالوا لا ما بنفهم قالوا فاذا اللي بيفهموا يعلموا اللي ما بيفهموا المعنى على كلكم في البلد هون جاهلين في هالبلد ما بتقدروا تتعلموا ونزل على المنبر ما خطب فيه لانه شايف على انه بيدعوا العلم بس مع انه ما هذا منهم بيعرف شيء.
Very good. هذه عن عن الاسلام هذه حكايه مسلميه؟
لا ما
هذه حياه عن عربي
عن العرب يعني العرب اللي بنقول عرب هم كانوا عرب قبل الاسلام. العرب they were Arab before the Arabs really before become Muslim. Because بني غسان نحن الشام دمشق they were called الشام دمشق they were all Christian
Yes,
but
yes.
They were Arab. They were not Romans.
Uh-huh.
They were Arab.
Under
the Roman
yeah.
rule, just like the Muslims under the Turkish rule. But they were not Turks.
Mm-hmm.
They were Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
They were Muslims, the same faith.
Yeah.
So the Christians, the Arabs, there was a lot of Arab Christians.
Is there any, do we have a sort of a custom where they tell stories at a certain time, or, I mean, you know?
Well, they do. They used to tell stories mostly in the evenings. When they spend evenings, they'd ask someone to tell a story. They tell them to tell the story.
To entertain them mostly.
To entertain mostly, and mostly tell the stories of the, there was a lot of stories that told so much about Harun al-Rashid. That's one of the prominent.
Do they used to let the children listen to the stories about Harun al-Rashid?
Oh, yes, because those good moral stories, like
yeah.
we say, Harun al-Rashid had a man, Abu Nawas.
Do you know
okay.
any Abu Nawas stories?
Yes, Abu Nawas, Ahad al-Nidama. Usan Abu Nawas, and he had a يسموه مهرج الرشيد. أبو نواس جاء يوم عند الخليفة وقال له يا مولاي في بريد أخذ منك إذن ودور المملكة واللي كل رجل بيخاف من امرأته يعطيني حمار. تعرف شو الحمار؟
فهميني.
يعطيني حمار. طبعا أبو النواس أخذ الأمر وإجا على عيسى وإجا على غير بلد. لكل بلد يروح يشوف اللي بيخاف من امرأته يقول له أعطيني حمار. هذا أمر هارون الرشيد. طبعا أمر الملك ما بيسترجي يخالفوه. والله يوم قعد هارون الرشيد على العلية على السقف وشاف من الغرب غبار جاي كثير. قال له شو هالغبر اللي طالع؟ قالوا له في جيش يعني عسكر. طلع شايفه على انه ما فيش حدا جاي الا شخص او اثنين ومعهم 500 600 الف حمار. اجى قال له هذا ابو النواس جايب معه حمير وجاي. اجى عند ابو لعند هارون الرشيد قال له شو صار بسفرتك؟ قال له يا هارون الرشيد يا مولاي اللي احكي لك قبل ما صار بسفرتي وانا بهالمشوار رايت نساء شفت ست بنت بعدها بكر لكن بنت جمال ما في اجمل من هيك يا مولاي وهيدي ما بتسوى الا لك انت. قال له اصحى حش تحكي الزبيدي خلف. قال له انت عليك ثلاث حمير. جبت البوينت؟
يس اي ديد.
قال له انت عليك ثلاث حمير. قال له ليش؟ قال له انت امير المؤمنين ما زالت بتخاف من البيبي انت عليك ثلاث حمير.
Very good.
ابو النواس was the poet.
Yes. Yes I know but
yeah,
some people.
The poetry. No they're not the same person. جحا is a title to in Arabic. جحا بتعني fake.
Oh I see.
Fake. يقولوا مثل جحا أو أحلم من جحا just like the ones what do you call them in the circus
magicians
no not the magicians they've seen funny she was
clowns ah
كلمة جحا تعني clown
oh I see
the clown is a fake he's not himself
yeah, yeah.
So كلمة جحا بالعربي تعني fake إنه كان يتحايل على الناس. He used to fake stories which is not in order to gain something from them. But Abu Nawas was a different.
Yeah.
He was known.
Yes.
He was known. He was hired for that.
He's a real person. Jihad's not real.
No. Abu Nawas, a real person, and he was hired for that.
Yeah.
He was hired to entertain.
I can't find anybody who can tell me a Jihad story. You don't know any.
Well, في قصة عن جحا مرة قال لامرأته برا قدام البيت بيقول كان لابس سروال، السروال يعني البنطلون أو تحت البنطلون. قال السروال وقع عن الحبل غسيل للأرض، أخذ مرته صار يقتلها. قالت له ليش عم تقتلني؟ قال لك كيف شو كان صار فيه لو كنت أنا بنص السروال.
Do they have a lot of riddles, Hafidat? Is this a common thing by Mahrub, Mr. Ellis?
Oh, yes. Yes, they have quite a few riddles.
Do you remember any?
Oh, بعرف قصة واحد يبقى تسمعها بيقولوا here's one about a fish. بدي اقول لك اياها بالعربي.
بليز قول لي اياها بالعربي.
قوم جينا وجيناه وبالبيت، بالعربي الدارجة، وبالبيت كبسناه. عم تفهمي؟
فهمي، بسألك بعدين.
والبيت فر من الطاقات واصحاب البيت كمشناه.
القوم شو؟
القوم
يعني الناس. وبعد ثاني كلمة
جينا
ايه
وكان
yeah.
وجيناهم يعني we invaded them.
جيناهم yeah. yes. mm-hmm.
وبالبيت كبسناهم. We captured him at mm-hmm. home.
Yeah.
We didn't capture him, we
imprisoned them.
We imprisoned him at home.
Yeah.
والبيت فر من الطاقات. The house flew out of the windows.
Yeah.
وصحاب البيت كبشناهم. Can you understand it?
Yes, but I don't get the riddle. Now what's the
See, البيت is the water. The water flew out of the net.
Eh?
See, when we kept it.
Oh, when we fish.
Yeah, when we imprisoned the fish.
Yes.
The house, the house for the fish is the water.
Yes.
The water flew out of the net.
Yes.
Net holes, الطاقات بنسميهم. And أصحاب البيت, the owner of the house, are the fish. We kept them.
Very good. That's interesting. Bayou used to say lots of them. Can Bayou يحكي حكايات?
I used to have a lot of them, but we lost track and we don't get them. But حكايتلي أبو النواس بيروح لعند حتى بيروح للخليفة هارون هارون الرشيد بيقول له يا أبو النواس بعطيك 500 دينار إذا قعدت على السطح كل الليل بدون نار. سمعت إياها القصة؟ حكي لك إياها.
I don't know it for sure. No. إليها.
بيقعد على السطح حرام، هذا من برد كثير طبعا. بيجي الهارون بيلاقيه تقريبا يعني ميت. يقول له شو شفت؟ قال له ما شفت شيء ابدا. قال له ابدا؟ قال له شفت ضوء بعيد عني في بلد فلاني، شفت ضوء. قال له فاذا دفيت على الضوء فكرت شو وورم. ما اعطاهش 500 ليره. سو حتى يرجع لهارون الرشيد بيصبر شهر أو شهرين، بيعزموا على الغلا، بيقول له يا مولاي عبد لك وليمي، إلك وللوزراء، أنت والوزراء. هارون بيجيب الوزراء وبيقول له عبد لك وليمي على النبعة، يروح على النبع، على النبع طبعا في شجر، ياخذ أبو النواس يحط اللحم والبرغل المطبوخ بالقدر، بيعلقهم بالشجرة فوق، وبيشعل النار تحت على الأرض. طبعا بيجي هارون مع عزته، يا أبو النواس تواب، يقول نعم همت النار يا مولاي. بيقعدوا بيشربوا، يجي على الخليفة، يا أبو النواس أنت بيطلع لك يقول همت النار يا مولاي، إنه nothing I can do. بعدين شو جاء الخليفة كثير، قال له هنت النار يا مولاي، قال له بدي شوف النار. إجا بيشوف قال لي خبي بدك كيف بدك تستوي قال له مثل ما أنا تفيت على الضوء هذا الضوء على عطار 500 دينار اللي ما عاد فيه
real good. في عنده الحكاية بيحكوا عن الخوارني هكي you know إشياء you know like نحن عنا حكاية عن الخوارني
عن ولا هذه قصة ما هي مش قصة عربية قصة
سنة أمكانية ما بديش إياها
يعني. لا مش قصة أمكانية بحكوها كمان بس في عنا قصة كويسة للفتوى أو الحكم والقصص من هالنوع كثير ما بين العرب بين العرب في قصص عديدة. آخر مرة كنت في البيت حكوا لي قصة عن ناس تخاصموا مع بعض من بعض وبهالخصام أدى لمعركة حتى الحكومة لبكت في حل القضية وحل القضية على أرث على ال على
inheritance.
رجل عنده جمال وصى في عوض ما يوصي في الـ في الـ لكل واحد جمل مثلا لابراهيم جملين لعبد الله جمل لهذاك بيوصي بالعدد بيوصي نصف الجمال لابنه الاكبر ونص النصف لابن الأصغر.
شو النصف؟
كوارا يعني نصف النصف. ونصف الربع يعني ونصف النصف للابن الأصغر. حتى إجوا يقسموا يطلوا هالرجل في عنده 7 جمال. ما كانوا يقدروا يفتوا المحكمة كيف بدهم يقسموا الجمل في النص غير ممكن يعني نص جمال بده يطلع 3 جمال ونص ما قدروا يقسموهن يروحوا لعند أمير العرب أمير العرب عادتهم حتى يحكم بيجيبوا العبا العبات يعني عبا مشان الحكم يحطها بالنص وبيقول لهم شو عليهم شو بيطلع عليهم الجزر كل واحد بده يحط ايه معلومة بهالعبة هودي إله هو بيروح انه كيما حكم ما بيقعدوا يسترجوا بده يرضوا بالحكم حل انه زبطوا المصاري بده يرضوا بالحكم مع ما لو كان الحكم ظالم بيزبطوا المصاري في العبة يقول له ما بكفي وطبعا 7 جمال بيحرزوا وما قادرين حدا ياخذهم كلهم لانه حسب وسيط قالوا لا قادرين يقسموهم والزبطوا بعض مصاري على العبا قال له ما بكفي ضموا زبطوا حتى اكتفى بياخذ من هالمال بيخلي له شيء معلوم ريال او ريالين له وبياخذ الدقوي بيشتري جمل يكون سمعان بالقصة وما قدروا حلوها يروح بيبعد مصاري مع خادم تبعه بيشتري جمل وبيجوا لعنده بيقول لهم هيني المسألة بيطلعوا لبرا قال لهم هالمال اللي عطيتوني هي كلكم سوا اشتريت في جمل صاروا 8 هلا بتقدروا تقسموها
very good هاي صحيحة هالحكاية؟
oh yes
they're clever how
they very clever
معودين على هالحكاية
تدر قصة نص الجمل ترى جمال وضافوا بمصريات هن كلهم سوا مش منه هو دفع انه كلهم اشتركوا بالمصاري اشتروا جمال من مال الكل وقسموا كلهم اخذوا خصة
very good شو العبا شو رايت عبا
عبا مثل
something to wear
like عباية
هاي هي العبا I didn't know
what it is. This is the Arab. The Arab is the Arab.
Oh, I know. There are miracle stories, aren't there? There are a lot of miracle stories, stories about miracles.
Oh, yes.
Things like this. Do you know of any?
Yes, very many stories.
So how about...
نقدر نسميها شو بيسموها الناس. أنا بعتقد أنا بآمن في الميراكل. أنا بعتقد في العجائب.
إذا واحد عنده
ديانة بآمن. أنا بآمن في العجائب لأني من بعد ما رحت لفلسطين للقدس ورحت لصيدنايا وشفت الآثار ولا بد إلا كل هالعجائب إنه صايرة. في أمس علينا على عجيبة صارت بصيد مية هلأ بالسنة هاي كدينا أنا في الجرائد زيت خرج من أيقونة السيدي ورجل مكرسح كان في المرة أو برجله كانت عملوا له عمليات وبيبارك ما يمشي بعد ما حضر على فور الزيت شفي
من الأيقونة
من الأيقونة
عنده إيمان السيدي
مش هو كان في الدائرة هل كثيرين شفوا من الزيت لكن هو بالأخص وثلاث شهداء كاتبين عنه إنه شافوا كاتبين اسمه والحادث اللي صار كاتبين عن دمشق الشهر الماضي في مجلة من دمشق.
Do you get the papers from London, yeah. from Syria? Do you? How wonderful! You keep up with the news then.
Yeah.
Very good. Did they have, in our own country, did the boys used to play any particular kind of games?
Well, we have the golf. We played the golf in the old country before they came here.
At your age when you were there?
We played as a children, but we played in a different way.
How?
But here they, well, we have the same thing. We don't have holes, but we do have the smaller stone and we sticks. And we hit this ball as far, then we hit it from there, we hit it this way, it goes, supposed to go to, we have khita
mensemiha,
a round thing, we hit the ball to hit to it,
in order the circle.
To get to the circle.
How far
from
is it?
From this circle to the another circle, and it's exactly like the golf, only here it's a scientific.
Yeah.
Over there we...
Well, how far apart would these circles be?
Well, we'll say 100 feet, some of them, 40 feet and 30 feet. It's
what
all dependent.
What was the shape of the stick? Did it have like...
No, it didn't have any.
Just
a straight stick.
A branch from the tree?
Yeah, a branch from the tree, and we hit it this way from the with the stick. The
With the tip of the stick like this?
No, the stick was
round
stick.
Oh, and how big was the stone?
Oh, we'd pick a round stone about that big,
mm-hmm.
about as big as
the golf
ball they use now, but only stone. We didn't have any money.
Did it take a lot
it
of strength?
It wasn't scientific, sure, for the children. The children only plays it, not the...
That's interesting. I'd never heard of it before. What other games did you play?
Oh, we played something like baseball. We called them let. They play it with the sticks.
Mlaq.
The
How do you spell that?
Mim lam qaf.
Mlaq.
Mlaq.
Uh-huh.
And we play that with we have a stick. We have a big stick. And you have, this is, we call the base
mm-hmm.
here, or the...
home plate, like.
Or the plate.
Yeah.
It's a home plate. You start from the home plate.
Mm-hmm.
And you put a stick on the ground, and here you put a stick where it goes over.
Over the plate.
Over the plate.
How did you use as a
you
plate?
You have a stone in here.
Mm-hmm.
Then you hit the stick with
mm-hmm.
the big stick, the little one.
Mm-hmm.
When you hit it, and you hit it this way.
Oh, the ball, the stone used to fly.
No, not the stone, the stick.
Oh, the stick.
Yeah. I'll demonstrate it to you outside.
Yes.
I can demonstrate it right here. I'll show you. You get this here. Now we hit it like this. Watch.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
Yes, and how then far would it go?
Well, it can go as far. Now, the best part of it, after it gets in here, it's dirt. The ground is dirt.
Uh-huh. Now, is it a hole that it has to go into?
No. Now, you gotta hit this again,
mm-hmm.
and hit it. Now, when the ground is smooth, you can't hit it. It's hard. It won't flip.
Yes.
Now, you gotta dig under it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You keep dig under it. Without moving this.
Oh.
When you move this pencil, when you dig under it, sometimes you just, the ground is too hard, or you stick, it's too big or something, you hit this, then you lost the game. Then the others will try it over again. Now this here's got a sharp point,
mm-hmm.
you can still hit it. Sometimes it'll flops over, and it laps on something, this will be higher, or something here's under it, it's empty.
Then you can hit
then
it again.
You can hit it, see?
You have more tries.
That's
yet.
It.
You have lots of tries to have to fish.
Now, till you get to the base.
Uh-huh.
You keep on till you get to that base. It's a very clever game among the kids, of course. But
it is, it's very clever.
See?
Oh, yes, I get it.
See how you do it?
Oh, yes.
We used to do that. It was very, very, some of them used to be so clever that it almost hit it to a spot where they don't have to dig under.
And when it jumps up, you can hit it with your stick like a ball.
Yeah, so we used to have that, and it's
a
very interesting game for the kids to play.
It takes, you know, practice too, doesn't it?
Very much so.
How far, say, is home plate to the
place? Oh, we'd have from the home plate as far as down to the base. We'll say we used to have maybe it all depends on the spot we used to play in. We don't have any parks there, but it's all in the country. We used to play
mm-hmm.
on the, where they use the, where they thrash the the wheat.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we used, farther the place is better, 200 feet, then again 100 feet. Then
how many tries
feet.
Could you get?
But doesn't make
isn't
it.
That some, as long as
some of them, are just, you're clever, they used to flop this thing and hit it almost to the base.
That is very clever.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, just like the baseball man, or some of them.
Are there any other rules
some
in the game?
No, we really didn't have rules. This is the only rule was that
you
lose the game
it.
When you don't touch the. Long as you can hit it without movement,
mm-hmm.
you can still try and hit it this way. Now, if you hit it, and then flops, and you don't hit it, then you lost also.
Oh,
you
yes.
Got,
you have to be able to make it move.
Yeah, you got to hit it.
Uh-huh.
You got to hit it. Then something
that's
else.
That's a wonderful.
And they gave it a try and said, oh, it's a good game. Then we used to play with a card. I don't know if you know what it is.
I've heard about it. Lubon, isn't it? What kind of game did you play with it?
Oh, we played all kinds of games. But there's nothing we
did.
Did
you have a way, Jack, or did
that's
you?
That's right. We used to throw it up and it stops at a certain point.
Then what would happen?
Well, we'd bet. By throwing it up, it stops. If it stops at a certain point, and it stops another point, that you lose, and you gamble with the kids.
Oh, really?
One or two. And we used to play marbles like they do here.
Yeah.
Marbles are a common game over there,
that's
something like here. But games are games. But the especially the I was telling my boy Mike yesterday while we were watching the golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they stole that from us, only they made it to make money. Over there, we don't.
Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer, Mr. Ellis. Just let me ask you one more category. And that is, what they have a lot of superstitions or belief in, do they have superstitions about wheat or bread or something?
No, the worst superstitions they have over in the old country. The worst is when they see crow.
A crow?
Yeah, when you see a crow in the village and it
flying around.
Flies over a certain district, they say it's going to be death.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, crow.
Are there...
Vrab, we call it Vrab in Arabic.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, that's the worst. They can have.
They still believe that, I suppose, if they saw a crow here, wouldn't they?
Well, I used to, but not anymore.
Oh, no, I know. I know we no. advanced, but I was just curious, because these are some of the things they brought with them, weren't they?
There's still some of them they have, they don't travel on Wednesday. They don't start a journey on Wednesday.
Why Wednesday?
Well, they're just some of them, they don't.
Do you think it has...
For some people, it probably has Elba.
I wonder maybe if it was in the name or something.
No.
You don't know why? I've never heard of that one either.
And some people have superstitions. They don't make dress. They don't cut the batons on Tuesday. So just different. The superstitions are different. This is general.
No, I know. They change from
general,
village to village.
From village to village. But this crow, it's practically general all over the...
I forgot to ask you if they have any animal stories. Do they tell animal stories about stories?
Oh,
about
yes,
animals?
They have many animal stories about the... we have one story, maybe that'd be a good to your call. But you know what Asad is? Saba, the lion.
Oh, yes.
Asad, من سمي ملك الوحوش. يقول إنه تمارس هرم سو حتى يقدر يأكل عمل حاله إنه مريض صار يجوا يزوروه الوحوش بما إنه ملك الوحوش يجوا كل ما يجى وحش الأسد يبطش فيه يعني يقتلوا ويأكلوا حتى بعدين إجا بغل وإجا ثعلب فاكس Fox Banana and send me Abu Nawas because
he's... Oh, he's clever.
Clever. So, فات لعنده البغل قتلوا الأسد وأكلوا جاء أبو النواس طل عن الغارة قال له كيف حالك يا ملك الوحوش قال له حالي كثير أنا عدبين عليك كثير للفاكس للفعلب قال لي لماذا؟ لأنه قال له كل الوحوش زارتني إلا أنت. ليه ما بتجي تزورني؟ قال له يا مولاي كنت جاي زورك كان ضرب البغل علمني عدم الزيارة. قال له شفت يعني؟ قال له شفته راح وما رجع. فلا سبب أنا ما جيت زورتك.
شو قال للأسف؟
Nothing. إنه that he was a fox. إنه he's a fox that he wouldn't, if he'd gone down there he would kill him. He says I learned from the البغل. He went and didn't come back, so he killed him.
Well, very clever. Let me take everything I can from you on the rest of this tape.
بالعربي في they have similar to it in English. كل ديك على مزبلته صياح.
Translate that for me in your language.
Every rooster. In his own backyard, crows.
Now that's boasting, isn't
that's
it?
That's it. في عين أمه غزال.
القرد بعين اسمه غزال.
بعين أمه.
بعين أمه غزال.
غزال.
I understood that one. You don't have to translate it.
القرد اللسان أعظم من غلطة السيف.
غلطة اللسان. Oh, اللسان. Yes.
أعظم من غلطة السيف.
أعظم is worse, huh?
Worse.
Yes, very good.
الواطية تشرب مائها وماء غيرها.
Out of the